Just making sure. I guess I would call the title Engaged this morning. And probably what I'm going to talk about is very familiar scriptures. And I got a little echo into me, Beth, if you can fix it. That, how many knows it's not always you need to hear something new? The Bible says, watch and pray. The Bible doesn't say just pray. He says, watch and pray, several different places. So if you got your Bible, let's look at Mark chapter 9. Now, I had a situation that it didn't come up this week. I'm still echoing to me. I don't know why it is. What? Because it's turned up. Okay, it's fine. I had a situation that didn't come up. It didn't start this week or whatever, but it just kind of got, I got to the end. Y'all ever get to the end? To where it may not be the will of God, but you're at the end. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Well, it was one of those or whatever. And I was fasting and I was praying and I was telling God, God, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do something about this situation and everything. And I wasn't hearing nothing, you know, or anything like that. Well, that night, I heard the Lord spoke these scriptures to me that we're going to read right quick. Here in, we're going to start it in verse 14. And we're going to read it in the Amplified version. If you don't have it, Beth will put it up. It says, and when they came to the nine disciples, because now the verses above this, Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he's got Peter, James, and John. So there's only nine disciples left out there. And it says, and when they came to the nine disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes questioning and disputing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw Jesus returning from the Holy Mount, his face and person yet glistening, they were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, about what are you questioning and discussing with them? And one of the throng replied to him, Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a dumb spirit. And whenever it lays hold of him so as to make him its own, it dashes him down and convulses him, and he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth, and he falls into motionless stupor and is wasting away. Now, just imagine this, if this is your kid. I believe some translation says he has epilepsy. You know, that's what they do. They spin around, fall down, foam at the mouth, all that stuff. And this is your son, and you have come to the end of yourself. You have no other hope. You bring him to Jesus. You don't know if he can do anything about it or not, but you're at the end, right? And he goes on and he says, and I asked your disciples to drive it out, and they were not able to do it. And he answered them, O unbelieving generation without any faith, how long shall I have to do with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me. So they brought the boy to him, and when the spirit saw him, at once it completely convulsed the boy. And he fell to the ground and kept rolling about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, how long has he had this? And he answered, from the time he was a little boy. And it has often thrown him both into the fire and into the water, intending to kill him. But if you can do anything, do have pity on us and help us. This is where I was at. Any Christian can get there. Y'all remember the story about that Scotty tells about himself when I had to come put the note on the door? All that happened to him was he got out of faith. You cannot do the will of God. I don't care if it's in your marriage, if it's in your finances, if it is in your relationships with your kids or your family. You cannot do the will of God outside of faith. Why? Because it takes the supernatural to do the will of God. Flesh cannot do it. So this is where I was at, and this is the verse that he spoke to me. The reason why he spoke this to me, because I kept saying, God, you got to do something. God, you got to change it. No, because I couldn't see any way that I could change it. So I'm saying, God, you change it. Ain't that the same thing this guy's saying? And he goes on here. What verse did we get to? 22? 23? Oh, and Jesus said, you say to me, if you can do anything, why all things can be are possible to him who believes. And it says, and at once the father of the boy gave an eager, piercing, inarticulate cry with tears, and he said, Lord, I believe, constantly help my weakness of faith. But when Jesus noticed that a crowd of people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you to come out of him and never enter him again. And after giving a hoarse, clamoring, fear-stricken shriek of anguish and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy lay pale and motionless like a corpse, so that many of them said, he is dead. But Jesus took a strong grip of his hand and began lifting him up, and he said, and when he had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we drive him out? Then he goes on and he says, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Now go over to, I don't think I wrote that down. Anyway, there's another translation, another place in the scriptures where he says, he's not talking about this kind of devil, he says, because of your unbelief. And then he goes on and says, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Now look at James 2:17. You don't have to turn there. Beth will put it on the screen. It says, so also faith, if it does not have works, deeds, and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself is destitute of power, inoperative, it is dead. If you are born again, you have faith, according to the scriptures. So it's not that we don't have it, right? And according to the scriptures, faith comes. It can increase. You can get more of it, right, by what you hear, engaging with what you hear. Well, this man, evidently, Jesus was his last hope. And when he brought him to Jesus, he's telling him, you're going to have to do something. I know y'all don't ever tell him that. You're going to have to do something, God. You're going to have to. There's even a song, God, Turn It Around. Y'all heard that song before? God, Turn It Around. How many knows it's not God's job to turn it around? It's ours. So when he comes to here, the story that we just read, when he comes to Jesus and Jesus tells him, all things are possible if you can believe it, evidently he changed and believed it. Why do I say that? He got what he asked for. Everybody that came in faith to Jesus got what they asked from him, right? So evidently he had to change. So evidently me and you, we got to change too. Because he says there, we can have faith, but if we don't have no works with it, or no deeds, or no words, it's void of power. It's not that we don't have it, we're not engaged with it. So it's not, God is saying, it's not what I can do, it's what you can believe. And then also we're going to see some other things here in the scripture. Romans 1:17, please, Beth. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 366 days a year on leap year, right? At all times. Because any place that we get out of faith, and that you can have great faith in finances and be almost faithless, so to speak, in healing, right? It's not just if you have faith, you got it in every year or whatever. And faith, where he talks about there, he says the just revealed from faith to faith. Our faith is supposed to be at all times ever increasing. We go from one level, just like this in finances. There is a level of what you call payment faith. You can believe God to make those payments. Then you can come to another place to where you can, we call it paid for faith. Right? Your faith increases to where no longer you're believing God just to make payments, but now your faith is increased and you can believe him for the whole, to where you just go get it. You just pay for it or whatever. In every year of our lives, our faith should be increasing in God, in his word, and all of that. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:7, please, Beth. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I'm telling you, that is probably one of the biggest things you will ever fight. Because one of the definitions that I heard about fear, and I think it was Jerry Savelle that I heard it from, which he's gone to be with the Lord now. He said fear stands for false evidence appearing real. That comes to everybody. The Bible says that Satan is the god of this world, right? He's the one that is in the control of the world system right now, trying to run things and different things like that. And how many knows there's always going to be something that you can hear or that you can see or that you can feel? The devil will make sure of it, totally contrary to the word of God and the will of God. But our job is we have to, based on his word and his faithfulness, keep trusting in him, right? We walk and live by faith, not by sight. And what that walk is, it means we conduct our lives by faith. By faith means I conduct my life by what I believe. I believe according to the Word of God and the Spirit of God on the inside of me that it is the will of God for me to attend church on a regular basis wherever He has chosen for me to be. So therefore, if I'm going to walk by faith, what I got to do? I got to get out of the bed on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or whenever, get ready and get to church. If I'm going to walk by faith, why? Because I believe that's His will. And anytime I get out of looking at something, just like Scotty when he told you, you know, Brother Brad's title that morning when I had to put the note on the door, and I talked him into going to Faith Restoration that morning, Brother Brad's title was, "You've lost your motivation." That's all it is. Faith is a motivating force. With the love of God behind faith, that's why our intentions and our endeavors should always be motivated by the love of God, right? Everything that we do and we say and that we are and everything. But then faith is supposed to motivate us to action. We voice it. We do deeds of whatever it is. Just like you hear, Scotty, you know, if you've got a need, plant a seed. Well, if you are convinced of that is the will of God and everything, what do? Just keep holding a seed? You're never going to get a tomato if you never plant the seed, right? So then your faith has to have corresponding action. But if you ever get to looking at the way it looks or by the way it feels, listen, and sometimes the evidence is real. It is so real. But we have to stick to the scripture. Why? He says, not by sight. Because nothing according to faith is based on what you can see. All of that is temporary. Now let's look here at 2 Corinthians 4:18, please, Beth. Oh, you're quicker than I can say it, huh? It says, "While we look not at the things which are seen," ain't that what he just said? We walk by faith and not by sight. That's not what we look at. But see, we live in this world 24/7. It's hard sometimes not to look at, and the devil is really good at a master at distraction. To get you off of whatever you're on, to distract you, to get you looking at something, thinking about something else. Think about how it feels, right? But he says, while we look not at the things which are seen. But what we do is, but at the things which are not seen. What's that mean? There's things that we don't see that is in this word right now, right? They're the things that are eternal. They're the things that will never change. Everything out here is subject to change. He says, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, means they're temporary. But the things which are not seen, they are eternal. They can never be changed. Things in the spirit, they can never be changed. But everything out here, your body may be sick, how many knows it can change to what the word says? Yeah, absolutely. Your finances, you may not have a dime, but how many knows it can change to what the word has said? The Bible says He has blessed us already with all spiritual blessings right in heavenly places. There's no blessing that we're waiting on that needs to be done or anything. Now let's look at Matthew 16. And like I say, I don't care how long you've been saved. I don't care how much of the Bible that you read or anything. But like I said, the Bible says watch and pray. Why? Because God doesn't have an adversary, we do. His adversary has already been put down. And whenever Jesus came and all that happened to Him and He rose from the grave, the Bible says He has given us the victory, right? Through everything, He's given us the victory. But what does the Bible say our victory is? 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God, right? And this is the victory. I can't even quote it right now. But anyway, he goes on and says, this is the victory, even our faith. So without it, there is no victory. What did I tell you? Matthew 16? I need to get there. Let's see. And I'm going to read this in, I think I got the Amplified, don't I, Beth? Yeah, okay. Verse 18, now the scriptures before this, Jesus had just asked them, who do you say that I am? You know, they went through all their people. And then Peter had a revelation that says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We're going to pick it up here in 18. He said, and I tell you, you are Peter, Greek, Petros, a large piece of rock. And on this rock, talking about the revelation, the verses above it, on this rock, Greek, Petra, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. Now notice this. I will give you, who? Peter? The church. That's us as a corporate body, right? He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Is that saying, God, if you can do something? No. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you, Teresa, bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you, Teresa, declare lawful on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. What's that mean? Monty talked about last Sunday, miracle in your mouth, right? Well, the miracle don't get in your mouth till the faith is in your heart. Because anybody can say words, but not everybody says faith-filled words. Faith is of the heart. But if you've got faith in your heart, then it's in your mouth. It's in your deeds, right? It's in everything you do. Beth, put up Isaiah 22:22, please. This is a direct cross-reference from this scripture. It says, in the key of the house of David I will lay upon his shoulder. He shall open and no one shall shut. He shall shut and no one shall open. So what does this mean? If I've got hell going on at my house, I've allowed it. Now, I'm not saying nothing. Why? It's my house. Especially if you're a man. Because you are the head of your house. Now, I'm not saying you can control everything or whatever, but how many knows we have authority in the spirit realm? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of all of this. But if your wife is acting up, husband, you need to be on your knees praying and binding and loosing. Why? Because evidently she needs some help. And vice versa, same thing if your husband. Y'all have heard the story one time. Scotty hadn't been in business too long for himself. And he had went to this house to do this garage door with this lady that he was doing the garage door for. She was a Sunday school teacher at another church. I didn't know her. He didn't know her either. But anyway, I reckon she came to the door and had her robe on or something. I don't know what it was. And anyway, he had this strong feeling like he loved her, he said. So then here goes the devil tormenting his mind. Why? Listen to me. When you get things out of darkness, there is no more torment. You hear what I said? Because see, if you keep letting these things go on in your head, before you know it, you're being tormented. Well, so he becomes tormented. He knows he doesn't love this woman, but he feels. You better hear what I'm telling you. He feels. We're not supposed to go by feelings, right? But how many knows we can? And they'll be wrong every time. But anyway, he comes home. I don't know how long he went on with that. He comes home one day from work and he tells me, he said, I got to tell you something. Now listen, back in that day is not the time to tell me something like that normally. I mean, we have lived a very rough life and I have pulled girls out car windows and all kinds of stuff for certain things that they've done to me. But anyway, I'm just saying, I'm saved now, but I'm trying to tell you that from his perspective of having what he's fixing to tell me. He knows what possibly can happen, but at the same time, I believe he's being prompted by the Holy Spirit to tell me why. We're to help. We're supposed to be united. We fight together, right? If you can't whoop it yourself, I'm supposed to help you. If I can't whoop it myself, you help me. Not counting that the Bible says in Psalms, there is a commanded blessing of the Lord on unity when we are together. So anyway, to finish the story there, he comes home and he tells me, hey, I got to tell you something. I said, yeah. And he tells me the story of what I just told you. He said, and I feel like I love her. And I'm just like, I don't know what I thought at the time. But anyway, you know, he goes on and everything. Well, after that, I started praying. I was not praying for him in that area, Johnny, until he told me. Because, see, I'm not the Holy Ghost Junior. Unless the Lord tells me something, I don't know anything. Or people tells me, then I can know. So anyway, I start praying for her. I'm telling you, if you're having a problem with lust, tell your wife. She will help you. Because if you don't and you keep letting that go on, that seed, as long as the tape plays, the seed gets in your heart, Mark 4, right? Matthew 13, Luke 8. And once it gets in your heart and starts growing, you will do. So anyway, he tells me, and I don't know how long after that, to my knowledge, he's never had that problem again. Now, what are we on? Gosh, poke myself and I. Oh, yeah. It's whatever I allow. Let's look at Mark 3. I said, where is Mark? We're going to start reading in, excuse me, verse 23. How do I get that? King James. It says, and he called them, talking about his disciples, he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? We know he can't. And if a kingdom is divided against itself, notice it says kingdom, right? The United States of America is so divided right now, if this doesn't change, we will be destroyed. Why? You cannot continue that. You can't keep that up. You cannot stay divided and not be conquered. That is the devil's whole thing. It doesn't matter if it's between a father and a son or a husband and a wife or a family or church members. I don't know if y'all know it, and you probably don't. Hopefully, if you don't, we've did pretty good. But there has been one thing after another that the devil has tried at this church just this year, like no other year that we have ever saw, to divide us in here. And me and Scotty knew at the beginning of this year, this would be a year that we have to use the wisdom of God or we won't make it. And see, the thing about it is, we all need each other. God made it that way. I don't care what you think. I don't care how you, just like there's people supposed to be here at this church this morning. And I'm not talking about if they've been afflicted with sickness, or I'm not talking about that. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? That are supposed, they know, have told me out of their own mouths that they know that God has called them to be at this house this morning, and yet they're not here. The time for that is over. Because where we're at right now, I'm talking about God's timeline. I believe in my heart where we are like there where Elijah is with the 450 prophets of Baal. And he is telling him out of his mouth, God is saying, choose this day who you are going to serve, because it is coming down to the line. I don't know if y'all saw the Olympics and all of that, and it don't make me no difference, and that is all over Facebook and people out there. Some is saying, oh, you know, they was mocking the Last Supper of Jesus and his disciples, and others are saying, no, it was a hail to the Greek god Dionysus, or however you say. It don't make me no difference. Neither one of them is supposed to be here. You don't mock Jesus in the Last Supper, and you have no other gods. So it doesn't matter what it is, it's not right. But why is it there? What did I just read? Whatever we allow. The church is the most powerful force in the earth. She is the one that is supposed to be doing all of the ruling and all of the reigning under Christ. But see, when you can't even get to church where God tells you to go to church, just like this, help me, Jesus. I don't even want to say this stuff. Y'all ever have to say stuff you don't even want to say? Just like this, God speaks to Samantha, puts it on her heart, whatever he does. I have tried it before. But anyway, that's been years and years ago. God puts it on Samantha's heart to have a prayer service. 1 hour out of your 24 hours. 1 hour out of my 24 hours. And yet still some don't come. And please don't feel condemned. I'm not trying to condemn you. I'm just trying to help you get God's perspective. There may be a reason why you cannot. You know what I'm saying? If you're at work, you cannot come or something like that. But most of the time, you know why people don't? It's a hassle to my flesh. Got to go back to church. Got to pray for an hour. Oh, God, help us. I don't pray but 10 minutes, and you're asking me to pray for a whole hour. And they don't see any benefit out of it because they're selfish. You know what? The Bible says love, the love of God, is not self-seeking. It seeks the benefit of others. Number one, it loves God, so it does its best to obey God. And number two, it loves others. And see, if we're going to make, and I'm not just talking about the people in this room. People all around the world is hearing my voice. And we, and those over there, I heard the other day that India has become one of the most religious, persecuted places on the planet. Do y'all realize that almost happened here? If they are a Christian in certain places, I mean, we got brothers and sisters in Iran. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? They got Sharia law and all that other. You don't do that. You don't run around there going to church. You don't run around there quoting those scriptures, testifying to people. And you hide underground and serve your God as well. Do you realize that's coming here? They shut the world down with COVID. And I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about the principalities and the powers. That Rodney Howard Brown, if y'all have not heard of him, he's a pastor of a big church. He went to jail. Because he would not shut down his church. He would not tell his people don't come. He would not tell them mask up. He went to church and he left it up to his people. Y'all got faith, come on or whatever. They put him in jail. This is the United States of America. Do you understand that? That's not supposed to happen. But that's what we're coming to. Why? Because of us. And I'm not saying just us in this room. I'm talking to Christians all over the world. I'm talking to Christians in China. I'm talking to us in here. I'm talking to the ones that are listening by Facebook. All of that. Because, see, we want to run around sometimes and just live in our own little bubble, think about our own little stuff, how things make me feel. The reason why Scotty lost his motivation, he got out of faith, is because he kept looking at the people that wouldn't do what they were supposed to do and help. It wasn't y'all. Now, Sandy was here, but you kept coming to church, wasn't you? Y'all get my point, right? Now, he wasn't supposed to start looking by sight, but at the same time, when you have people that are giving you evidence that you preach to, that you give money to, for gas to get to church, and whatever that you can do to help them, and they won't even help them, it can be discouraging. That's like Mac, whenever y'all's vehicles was tore up, you know, and you wasn't getting to come every service or whatever. That so discouraged Mac. Not that y'all could help it, I'm not saying that. And Scotty would have to encourage Mac. Mac, don't let it bother you. You can't get your eyes off them. Why? Walk by sight. We're supposed to be walking by faith. Don't get looking at people. Pray for them and all that other stuff. But do you realize we got to be united? We have to be for one another because he says in there, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Then he goes on, let's read the next verse. 24, if a kingdom be divided against itself, it cannot stand. And if a house, he's bringing it all the way down here to our home, right? Husband, wife, children. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Nothing divided against itself can stand. I don't care if it's a government. I don't care if it's a family. I don't care if it's a church. Listen, and it, whenever Jesus... The disciples went back and they told Jesus, hey, I'm paraphrasing, hey, we rebuked this guy because he was out there baptizing, preaching and stuff, and he wasn't of our party. What'd Jesus say? Do y'all remember? Don't do that. If they're not against me, right? If they're for me, they're not against me. But if you're not for me, you are against me. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're my family member, right? So, especially as Christians, the Bible talks about, I believe it's in Ephesians chapter 4, that we have to endeavor to keep the bond of unity in peace, right? Why? That is his thing. Divide and conquer. Let me tell you something. And where you have those that have more authority in the earth and influence, they will be the ones that are attacked the most. I guarantee you, me and Scotty get attacked more than anybody in this house. Why? We have the most authority and influence here. And you know what? If me and him don't make it, this might not make it. So I have to, at my house, and I got to beef it up too. I anointed my house last night with oil. Why? Because it is like the nations, if y'all ain't noticed, the nations are raging because demonic spirits has turned it up. And it ain't just you're having a little problem or they're having a little problem. No, the nations are raging. Do you understand that's what this wars are all about? And now Iran is saying they're going to do this and all that. They're over there just fighting each other. Do you realize whatever's happening in the natural, it started happening first in the spirit realm? And if we're going to stop it in the natural first, we got to stop it in the spirit realm. But if we don't stop it in the spirit, it can't be stopped. Why? Because it's spiritual forces. It's not natural forces. Now, so I anointed my house last night because I have had some hail, I'm telling you. And a lot of it brought on by my own self that I didn't realize until later. Not all of it. And I know y'all ain't saying nothing. We'll just say me. I know y'all never have none or anything like that. But I've got just a few minutes left, or actually about 15 minutes left. That's all the scriptures that I've got. But I would really, and I know, I believe y'all do, you know, pray for us. And not only us, just like this. I don't know if y'all have been experiencing it or not, but I have. And I have been trying to more in my heart engage in praise and worship and all of that. But it was like Wednesday night, and it's been happening on Wednesday night for me for a little while. I have been experiencing. I'm standing back there, and it was like as soon as the praise team started, the tears. I've got tears down to here. I don't even tell Aubrey. She goes and gets me a paper. And when that happens to me, she like pats me on the back because she don't really understand, you know, about it. I'm just telling you, don't make me cry. You understand? I don't cry easy. You got to either hurt me really bad or he has to be in the house. Guess what he don't want, the devil? None of that. So what's he going to do? He's going to come up here on this praise team. I'm not saying this is what's happening or not. I'm just telling you, I know the devil, so what he would try to do. April pings when she should pong. Scotty, Travis thinks he's bonging when he should be binging. Samantha's in C with her voice and she should be in D. You understand what I'm telling you? I'm not saying that's happening. I'm just saying anything that he can do to get you irritated, upset, distracted, and if you're doing it on purpose, you better stop it. And if you're not, then don't listen to him. Because guess what? There will be a demonic spirit assigned specifically to praise and worship in this house. Stop it. Divide it. Conquer it. Do not let them enter into the presence of the Lord. Why? Because that's the only way we can accomplish what we're sent here to do. We're not called here just to sit here on a pew and everybody give a testimony or preach a preaching or something. But it's when he's in the house, it makes all the difference. But how he knows? He don't come and dwell in a house that is divided. Why? You've got the enemy there. So what do we have to do? Shut him out. What do we have to do at our homes? Shut him out. What do we have to do on our jobs? Shut him out. How do you shut him out? Number one, don't listen to him. I mean it like this. I mean, you go back there and Scotty, don't shake your hand. Here's going to be the devil. He didn't shake my hand. He don't appreciate me anymore. All that I do at this church, and he didn't even shake my hand. Maybe he didn't even see you. There's sometimes he's looking right at me, but his brain's thinking, Samantha. He'd be looking right at me. And he don't even see me because he's thinking. You don't know why somebody looks the way they look. And you can say, I know that look. Really? Are you serious? What if they're in pain? I don't know. What if they're hungry? I don't know why they look the way they look. Why can't you just let the look go or whatever it is and pray for them? Why you got to go tell everybody? You shouldn't be telling nobody nothing. If you see somebody's in need of something, just shut up and pray for them. And if you need reinforcements or whatever, the Bible says, call on the angels of the Lord, right? It says they are ministering spirits sent to minister to the sons of God that are heirs of salvation. We're not in this alone. But if we don't call on them, they don't come. Right? Just like the movie that you brought. Oh, movie night there, Monty. What happened in that movie? That guy, God had a plan, and it was a great plan for everybody. Same thing going on now. Those that was sent to minister to him, y'all remember what started happening? They got too many of the enemy in there. They started getting defeated, right? What happened? The mother and the wife and I think it was the little girl in the hospital, they started praying for him. What happened? God sent angels, the reinforcements. Then what started happening? They started winning. Why? It is a spiritual battle. This thing is not natural. This is light versus darkness. Right? But anyway, I would like to, if y'all would, Scotty, would you come help me, please? Or Pastor. Let me say Pastor. He's not Scotty now. Because we have to separate all this stuff. Because here, he's not my husband. He's my pastor. Now, at home, he's my husband. I'm coming down there. But anyway, if y'all would, I would like for y'all to come up and let us anoint y'all with oil or whatever. And y'all remember the story whenever that Scotty's told whenever he got saved. You know, and I had left and took Travis, and I was coming over there that day. I didn't know he got saved. And I was coming over there that morning. I worked, and I was going to drop Travis off with him and let him watch him while I went to work. And when I got over there, I'm telling you, I couldn't hardly get in the door. Y'all have heard the story. I'm not kidding. He's not kidding. It is not get a little thing and dab. No, it's like he just turned the bottle on it. I went to the bathroom. I went to flush the toilet. The toilet handle is oiled. I don't know nothing about all this stuff, and I'm thinking, what is all this oil? God told him to anoint that house. You know why? I was very much demonically influenced. I mean, I'm having thoughts of killing people just to see what it was like. I mean, you that's demonic. So God tells him to anoint that house, and when I touch it, bam, I'm saved in 2 weeks. Not saying you ain't saved or anything like that, but I just felt inspired by the Lord that if you'd come up and let us anoint your head with oil, and then we'll say a prayer when we get done for everybody, if you would, please.